My name is Donna Smith, and I'm faculty in the Institute of Public Health at Georgia State University. Is it not working?
I declare myself moderator. This person did not show. Thank you very much.
Is it working?
Yes, now it is.
Okay. And I'm going to speak to you today about community connections and evaluation of an innovative reentry intervention with HIV-positive former Georgia State prisoners. I'd like to thank my colleagues, Tina Taylor, Kelvin Parker, Sarita Davis, and Dr. Rothenberg for their support of this project, as well as all of my colleagues in the Community Research Center at Georgia State. Thanks, of course, also to our funders, the Bureau of Justice Affairs. And thankfully, I have no financial relationships relevant to this to disclose. Community Connections is a pilot reentry intervention that provides linkage to care for HIV-positive former Georgia State prisoners returning to Metro Atlanta. It's an outgrowth of a pre-release planning program, an evaluation of the pre-release planning program that we did and conducted in 2009. Just to give you a little bit of background that's critical, the pre-release planning program, or PrEP, was begun in 2004 because of compelling evidence that a lot of HIV-positive reentrants were falling out of care as soon as they left prison, and their CD4 counts would decline precipitously, and they would do worse out of prison health-wise than in prison. And if you know anything about the state of health care in prison, you know that's a sorry state of events. the pre-release PrEP program we know that successful reentry requires way more than $25 prison-issued clothes and a bus ticket. The PrEP program tried to provide referrals to essential social services, medical case management, and that sort of thing, but it's staffed by one coordinator for all the prisons in the state of Georgia. There's approximately 400 persons who exit the system every year who are HIV positive, and this coordinator can reach about a fourth of those with her services. So there's just no way that she can, you know, adequately get to everyone that is needed. Community Connections was an effort to try to bridge that gap between what the PrEP program could reasonably do and the needs of the reentrants upon reentry, that linkage to care piece, that follow-up piece. Our primary goal was to help reentrants stay healthy and free through client navigation and volunteer peer guides. Another important component of the program that I'm not going to address in any detail today is that we hired an assistant for the PrEP coordinator and a halftime administrative support person to try to extend the reach of the PrEP program within the Georgia Department of Corrections. That component of the program will be evaluated at a later date. What the PrEP program provided us, Community Connections, with was the release date of all interested HIV-positive reentrants, contact information for them, and assessment information in many cases, but not all cases. For those who showed an interest in Community Connections, we would then reach out to them. As soon as possible after release, our field coordinator would make contact with participants. This was really crucial because very often people are just marginally housed upon release, and it's really important to find them quickly or they can just fall off the map. It was also important that our field coordinator was someone who had significant experience dealing with these populations and knowledge of corrections, and was really able to establish rapport and get early buy-in from Community Connections participants. And in that first visit, he was often able to begin making an assessment of what their needs are and begin the process of, you know, determining who would be a good match for them as a peer guide. Community Connections participants were asked to make a year's commitment to this program, to maintain at least weekly phone contact with their peer guide, to meet in person twice a month with their peer guide. One of those meetings was their monthly check-in with project staff, at which point we would give them their incentives. Participants were incentivized with a MARTA card and a cell phone. They were also expected to make their medical and social service appointments so they could get linked to other crucial resources for housing, jobs, and medical care, and to be making reasonable progress toward their self-defined goals, such as job training. The goals of this evaluation of Community Connection were quite simple. We wanted to do to gain an in-depth understanding of each participant's overall experience and to find out what was working about Community Connections and what really needed improvement. In terms of methods, we conducted in-depth qualitative exit interviews with 16 Community Connections participants and 3 project staff. We also reviewed and analyzed the monthly meeting notes, peer guide logs, and the PREP database assessments. I should note here that one of the limitations of this evaluation is that we've not yet incorporated the perceptions or experiences of peer guides or service providers with whom we work. That's going to have to be a separate evaluation. We coded and analyzed all the data through an iterative process by team utilizing in vivo 8. In terms of outcomes, 22 reentrants were enrolled in Community Connections, 12 completed their year-long commitment, 8 of those 12 are now working full-time, all 12 who completed the program found stable housing, and 16 of that 22 are still in medical care. Of the 10 participants who did not fully complete the program requirements, we're still in contact with many of them. All have significant substance abuse issues. One is thankfully now in a long-term residential treatment program. 3 are homeless but maintain intermittent contact with project staff. 3 are in jail or prison, and 3 have been lost to follow-up. In terms of results, 2 of the major themes were that all Community Connections participants felt that finding stable housing and income were their greatest challenges. This is not surprising. The stigma that's attached to having a felony conviction, as well as that of being HIV positive, just exacerbated their search for housing and jobs. In terms of the incentives, those were very successful. It was a very controversial choice to provide these incentives. They're very costly, but I have to say, I think overall it was a really good choice for a number of reasons. In this culture, it's almost like you're not a person if you don't have a cell phone. You don't have a phone number to put on job applications. You know, people can't contact you to follow up with appointments. And for us to try to make sure people had linkage to care, that was really critical so their doctors could contact them. It was also critical for us to be able to contact them, for their peer guides to be able to contact them. And without the cell phone, I don't think that would have happened. The MARTA card had the same effect. It allowed them to get to their appointments. They weren't having to sell their food stamps or barter for rides. And that was really critical. In one case, it even the MARTA card functioned as a kind of living housing for a participant who was having to stay in emergency shelter and getting kicked out at the crack of dawn with all their belongings, and it was cold, he was sick, he would ride the MARTA train until the library opened up, something we hadn't really anticipated. So that was really very important. There's so many stories I'd like to share with you about these people, and I really don't have time, so I'll try to keep it moving. But some of these quotes, I think, indicate the impact that the program had for these participants. In terms of our peer guides, we found it really critical that they have commitment and cultural competency. And I think a novel aspect of this program is that we were able to recruit from a network of persons involved in NAAA networks, and that turned out to be very productive. They often had experience with incarceration or with substance abuse, and almost all of our participants were struggling or had struggled with substance abuse. So they were able to build that rapport with participants. NAAA folks, if you have any knowledge of that network, they have a commitment to give back, so many of them were very willing. All of the ones that we chose had been sober for many years or out of prison for many years, so they were very stable, and they were someone that the participants could easily talk to. Another important theme was just the importance of the program providing participants with a sense of accountability, of having people for whom cared whether they were making progress toward their goals. This participant said, "I've been embarrassed at times when my plans wasn't really going through like I wanted to, and I had to explain my situation. I was looking at every month that I had to report to y'all how far I've moved my life ahead. Kelvin, our field coordinator, was a drill sergeant, okay?" Laughing. "No, I'm just kidding. But he explained to me life's on life's terms. He said, if you want it, it's there for you. You just have to get out and get it. And the only way to get it is to apply yourself." In conclusion, some of the as we go forward, some of the primary needs and challenges for this program would be to put some support in place that would provide us with comprehensive mental health assessments for all reentrants, including substance abuse, treatment readiness. We probably wouldn't have enrolled some of the people we enrolled if we had had better assessment information. We thought we were going to be able to get that from the PrEP program, but they were not always able to provide that. The other major need would be to have more structured linkages to structured transitional housing for participants, because almost all the participants need housing. If they parole out to a family or a friend, it's often a very temporary situation. It's not a place that they can stay for very long. Often there's a lot of chaos. There's a lot of tension because those relationships are already strained. So that's just not some place that it's realistic for them to stay. We would need to do more training for community connections participants, peer guides, and staff. And our biggest challenge at this point is finding more funding. There's a lot of talk about reentry these days and about the necessity of helping people transition out of prisons, and I think it's costing us so much to keep people in prisons, and our economy is in such sad shape. People are more interested. It's not a great reason to care about this, but they're a little more interested in reentry right now. But we haven't yet found ongoing funding, and we're really very interested in any ways that we can extend this program, because we know that it saved a few lives, literally. I'd like to acknowledge Shane Renzi, the PrEP coordinator, Ariana Yeomans, her assistant case manager there, our graduate students Marla Stewart and Josh Renfro, The article reference was by Jacques Belargien. It's a very critical reference there. And thank you all for your attention. Any questions? Do we have time for questions? Okay.